All right. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Would be super. Oh, Jason, you want to go to class? All right. The Epic Minis. You go right out there up the stairs and to the left. And there goes Matt to teach you. So, praise God. That's our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. They have a great time up there. At some point, they're actually going to paint the room up there. It might be today. So if your child comes home looking green, no, they're not painting today. I'm kidding. All right, here's the story. Oh, a lot of you, I love this. I love the fact, and see, now I'm thinking over 2 12-year windows, so 24. 24 is pretty biblical, right? And over these years, do you realize everybody here at one point was new? Can you believe it?
Maybe.
Even me. 12 of us met the first day, Sandy and I, Dale and Trudy, my parents, Jerry and Nancy Cassidy, Denny and Joni Fitch, Diane and Boyd Smith, and maybe somebody else struggled in there. But that was Chris Warner. That was the 12 of us. We were all new. Nobody gave us a new person's packet. So we are the only people who never got greeted. Isn't that terrible? A lot of you, though, are fairly new, maybe like 6 months or so. Man, I'm glad you're here. And you're like, well, sometimes, like, how do I get to know people in a church like this? Hopefully, there's lots of ways you can. Just come to things. That's the best way to get to know people. But occasionally, we do something specifically targeted for you. This Friday night, on the Allegheny River at Beth and Kirk Kondak's camp, there's going to be just a great evening together. A lot of the leaders from the church will be there. And if you're somewhat, I don't know, if you feel semi-new, I don't know what that means, a year, 6 months, or if you say, you know what, I haven't been to a campfire on a river in a long time, come to this. Right out the door there, they'll be picking it up. So on the back of your bulletin where it says events to remember, say Friday night, campfire, I'm in. So see people out there if you're in that thing. So when we started the church 24 years ago, Sandy and I had just been married a year. We moved back to Russellville. We both went to Penn State. God completely, I always tell people this, I got trained for ministry at Penn State University. Obviously, I didn't major in Jesus stuff. But we were totally engulfed in ministry. We were radical 18 to 22-year-olds on a big state college liberal campus. And man, if that isn't fun, come on, this is like awesome. Because I really thought I was a whole lot smarter than I was, and I thought I had a whole lot more answers than I did. But you know what? When you're 19, 20, 21, don't let anybody tell you you're not, because it's really fun. So just go for it. Eventually you realize, gosh, what was I thinking? I mean, Jeff and Chris, you guys are up in Fredonia doing the same stuff. We were lunatics. And I look back on some of the stuff and I think, you know what, I would never do that now. But praise God, he has us in seasons when we just do things because we're not smart enough to know we shouldn't do them. And come on, that's a good thing. And that's where we should be. That's called faith is what it's called. We can joke about it's called youth. It's really not called youth. It's called faith. Because you can do this at any age where you step out into things and at the time it seems like, yeah, we're going for it. You look back and you say, what was I thinking? Well, I tell you what you were thinking. You were thinking God called you to that and you stepped out in obedience. That's what you were thinking. And aren't you glad you did? Aren't you glad you did? Even if you got some bumps and bruises along the ways, praise God that you stepped out in faith. So we got married. We moved up here. We moved up here because I don't even know why we moved up here. Because I had a job. I could make $10 an hour in 1992. And so I was stinking rich. And so we moved up here. Sandy got a teaching job. Taught with all of you. The whole elementary teaching crew at Warren County Christian School is here. You're awesome. You should still be cranking it out because you're the best teachers I ever saw. And after a year, there was a restlessness in our heart that, man, we need to find, we were just experiencing really cool things in worship and in seeing people really get reconciled to God. That's what I want to read. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we can start with verse 12. I have to be careful because I'll get bogged down in all these things. This is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. And he says, we're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving an opportunity for you to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our minds, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. Now what Paul is saying there in verse 13, that's faith. Meaning some people say you're out of your mind. Usually, if you're following the Lord and they say, you're crazy, just on the inside smile and say, thank you, Jesus. I think I'm right in the right spot. Right? If everybody says to you, oh, that makes sense, great idea, say, maybe it's not faith. So don't be afraid when people say, you're crazy, you're out of your mind. What are you doing? Inside you say, man, I'm walking in faith. That's what I'm doing. And then he says, verse 14, for Christ's love compels us, but because we are convinced, and that is a strong word there, convinced, meaning nobody's going to talk you out of this. We are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. It sounds like a riddle, but here's the thing that we're compelled by. The love of God got a hold of me. The love of God got a hold of you. Therefore, who you used to be is no longer who you are. Therefore, you live a brand new life for him. That's what it means. And you're compelled by that love to see everybody else experience the life-changing power of Christ. And he goes on to say, so from now on, and these are really key verses. We really need to know these. These two or three verses right now are so under attack in our society. They're majorly under attack, even though you've probably not even heard them. But the principles here are so under attack. Watch what it says. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, here it is. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You just need to underline that and go home and spend some time and think what that means. Because a new creation means a new creation. It means that it's new. He's new. She's new. Well, yeah, but they used to be. Listen, it's a new creation. But we could never fix. Listen, it's a new creation. When you make something new, you don't just modify what was old. Really, to make something new, you learn from, but you really discard what was old, and you say, now I'm making something new. And that's how God treats us. So if you know people who you say, wow, they could never become a Christian because they are like this, man, stop it. That kind of talk is not the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is the old has passed away, the new has come. Aren't you glad he makes new creations? Come on, that's good news. And then he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and here it is, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not accounting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You've been reconciled. You now have a ministry of reconciliation. And you might say, well, I'm not real good at it. That is not what qualifies you for a ministry of reconciliation. What qualifies you for a ministry of reconciliation is you've been reconciled to God. Therefore, you are his ambassador. An ambassador has virtually no opinions on their own. Got none. Once the ambassador starts to just have their own opinions, they must cease to be an ambassador. They better get fired or the country's in shambles. All the ambassador does is carry out the message from the king. And so our message as Christ's ambassadors is be reconciled to God. That's what we're about. That's what our life is about. That's what hopefully that's, this is the thing where you drift here and there, but there are times I drift from that. I need to be reminded, that's my call. That's your call. It's just to reconcile. It's to be reconciled and to have the ministry of reconciliation. So how do you do that? You do that through get in the face of God and then walk in the presence of people. Walk in the presence of God, get in the face of people. I don't, you put the thing up, you just got to connect these two. That's how you do it. Anyway, so because for the very first time I gave you notes on the back of your bulletin, I better give you some things that start with the letter P. Just fill them in, any P you want will do. I want to give you these five. We're going to take some time and go over it. These are priorities. These are priorities that we have as a church. We've had since day one. Finally, last year, I actually kind of put them in a way I can remember. But these are the priorities we've always had since the beginning when we started it. We started it again. I'm going to just give them to you so I don't forget. And then we're going to spend a while in these. Got a little cross back there. Our priorities are five priorities. They happen to fall in a neat little way. I do this kind of stuff so I can remember it. If it makes no sense to you, that's okay. It makes sense to me, and I don't need notes if I can learn things like this. So that's why they're here. The five priorities of Praise Fellowship are very simple. At the heart of it all is people. It's people. If there were no people, Jesus would not have died. Because you might say, oh, it's at the heart of it is God. Well, obviously it is, but the heart of God is people. It is people. This whole thing was written because of people. Okay? People are at the heart of what God is doing. They absolutely are. And they must be at the heart of what we're doing. That's why when we see somebody, we need to say, oh, this is why I know Jesus, so I can be with them. Yeah. It's at the heart of it all is people. So right there in the center is people. It's a key thing. Our priority is people. Why that is important to state is our priority is not programs. Our priority is not efficiency. Our priority is not, you know, got to get this done. No, our priority is people. Sometimes people are the most inefficient, irritating thing out there. But they're our priority. I had, I remember when, whenever it was, United Airlines started dragging people out of the plane by their toes. Okay, I heard that. We're going to start doing that here. Who took your seat? This is how we get him on. But I heard the CEO say something afterwards, kind of in the repenting, oh my gosh, we're going to fall apart, I got to say something, right? And he said, what happened was we got our policies superseded our priorities. It's a good thing to write down because that will happen. You say, well, I don't know about my policies. Listen, we all have policies. We don't necessarily write them down, but we all operate by policies. And you all have priorities. Listen, policies serve priorities, not the other way around. And so as a church, as a people, as a gathering, whatever we are, we've got policies. Of course we do. But priorities beat the heck out of our policies. And our priority is people. Therefore, when we have to deal with a person, we have policies. But that person is priority. And so you deal with them knowing that. You deal with the situation, whatever it would be. But man, they're at the center of it all. The other policies, now look at me. The other priorities are the three on top, and if you've been coming to Denny's prayer class on Sunday mornings, he actually has been teaching this, not really knowing what is in my head, but he's teaching a very similar thing. We do three things that really connect us to the presence of God, to the face of God, and that is, you can do different words in here, but we're about the top one there, the presence of God. You put down the presence of God or the praise of God because they're very similar. They're almost synonymous. We have a priority of praise. It's our name. We actually went through a time when we were going to change our name, and we wrestled with it because our name was no longer cool. It isn't. If somebody knows the name of our fellowship, they say, oh, you were birthed in the 80s or 90s. I know that. I'm very aware that this is a name that came out of that era. So we actually looked into, we had a, you know, a team of people looking at different things, and we came up with some really good ideas if we wanted to start a church. And but then it finally came down to, and it was really a handful of you who really clearly kind of slapped us. Thank you for doing that. And say, listen, this is who God called us to be. Praise Fellowship is simply that. It's praise, which is all about God, and it's fellowship, which is all about people. Our name states our priorities. We're about praise and the presence of God, and we're about people. And that's what we have to be. And so praise is at a high priority. We've been for the, and it does involve music. No question about it. It's a priority. But it's more than just music. It's the presence of God. That's our priority. Meaning, three people who don't have a nickel's worth of musical ability can experience the presence of God. So it's about the presence, but of course, praise is what it is. We have prayer, which is, again, connecting us to God. Man, I'm so excited that we're taking a week and saying, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Why? Because it's a priority of ours. So then it comes out in this cool little, you know, the priority is always a priority. And then occasionally you do things like 24/7 for 7 days a week. Actually, there was such a, it's so easy for me to talk today. I have to be careful. Because I'm just anticipating the sun might be outside today. It's what you do realize that's why we closed all our windows, because everybody used to stare out there on these three nice days of year. And but it was, I think, I'm not quite sure, but I think it was about 94, 95, we did 24/7 prayer for a while, and literally there were like 24 people in our church, so this was serious commitment. And when we did this, and you know, so when you, when like 24 people decide to go 24/7 prayer, you do realize there are some slots not as desirable as others. It's the daytime hours, just so you know. Everybody wants the nighttime hours. Come on, there are just like, so anyways, maybe because I was standing there with the young people, I took like the 2 a.m. hour. Like, are you kidding me? How, I was like the last person to sign up, must be. I had the terrible hour. And but at that hour, I would, again, I don't really want to do that now because I don't do that now. So I would get up and I would spend time with the Lord, and they were sweet times. And it was at that time when he spoke something so clearly to me. And let me just read it. Exodus 33. It's actually a lot of things. Habakkuk, for whatever reason, at that time he spoke to me. About the glory covering the earth and God doing things that you will be amazed at and all that stuff. Read Habakkuk if you want to know what God spoke to me, whatever that was, 20-some years ago. Jody, were you around when we did 24/7 prayer? Was that before you? Okay, so it was like 94, 95. It was before I went to Elam, and so we were really small at the time. Exodus 33, verse 14. Here it is. It says Moses is like going back and forth with, Lord, I don't want to do this. I want to do it. How am I going to do this? Let's start actually in verse 13. If you are pleased with me, Moses says, teach me your way so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Now, anybody who's ever led a church, this is like what you say all the time when you're mad, right? God, these are your people. When it's going good, you're like, baby, my church. My people that I led out of Israel. But when it's rough, you say, Lord, don't forget your people. I don't think I invited one of those people to leave Egypt. You know what I'm saying. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. That's how you lead in the kingdom of God. Then Moses said to him, and again, this was like 2:30 in the morning, 1995 or so. He said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. Amen. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Then the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. And then he goes on to show me your glory, and it's a kind of a cool thing that goes on there. But the point here is, Moses says, I'm not going unless you're going. I'm not into this gig unless your presence is there. So as we think of our priorities and think of presence of God and praise and prayer, okay, these things, they've got to be there. They've got to be there. You can't say, let's just run a good business like a church. Man, you'll just go nuts, because here's what it says. He says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. If you're walking in your own strength, there is no such thing as rest. You're just worn out. You're just worn out. And you're worn out mentally, you're worn out spiritually, you're worn out physically. You go through seasons like that. And when you are literally worn out, doesn't always the case, but for me, if I am shot, I need to go back to Exodus 33 and say, Lord, maybe I'm missing your presence. It's got to be a priority of ours, and prayer is a priority. Proclaiming the word of God, man, this is it. The word of God is a priority of ours. We've got to proclaim it. And then what? Then all that stuff is like reaching into heaven, right? The word of God, prayer, the presence of God. And I was in Denny's class last week, and it just, as he said, it was so good. He says, now all of that touches the earth. Come on, that's good, isn't it, Denny? All of it touches the earth. The presence of God, the prayer to God, the proclaiming the word, all with the priority of reconciling people. Where do you do it? Wherever it touches down. It's the touchdown. And it's the places to go, and the places are here, there, and everywhere. It's all over the place. Our call is the globe. We're a global ministry. We're an international ministry. Our call is to the nations, which includes every place I step my foot. And wherever you step your foot today, what you're doing is you're taking the presence of God, the prayer time with God, and the proclaiming the word of God, and your heart is to reconcile people, and here you are, baby, I just showed up. That's ministry. That's what it does. And so I want you, see, can you bring up, I see you brought lawn chairs just in case we were overcrowded today. Can you bring your chairs up here? I want to show you these just to remind us. Look at this. Sadiq brought me chairs. And here's, now most of you don't know what these significance are, but when we started out, I'll tell you one more story and then I'm going to end. We started in August 1st, 1993. In June, I think it was June, but Denny Fitch was driving down the road and Dale Haight was driving down the road. Denny saw Dale and God spoke to Denny, go give him some money. And so he chases Dale all the way to his house and gets out at his house and says, man, Dale, he knew Dale, but he says, Dale, I don't know why, but God's saying to get, I think it was like $200. Give you $200 for whatever you're going to do next. And, well, Dale and I had been working together, and so that's kind of how the whole thing birthed. I did an internship at the adult probation department, and that's how I got to know Dale. And so we both had to be like, man, let's go for things. And so, but I'll skip like all this stuff. But he said to Dale, he says, I don't know what it is. Here's money. God said to give it to you for what you're going to do next. Well, Dale gets this, and if you knew Dale, he just started crying. Because he and I had been talking so much about we've got to start a church. And for the purpose of this, because of these priorities, we didn't have this cool little diagram, we didn't even have a computer. But we had, those were our priorities for the presence of God. And so this is what Dale does. He takes his $200 and bought, and it probably wasn't even $200, because these were $4.99 at Value Home Center. This is actually the chair. He bought 20 of them. We had 20 chairs. We used 12 of them, so we had 8 vacancies, expecting them to be filled. And he went and bought these chairs. Valley Home Center had just opened up in the old James Way building. Those of you who are old, I'll take you back to what life was like when we started. And we had 20 of these little chairs, and we met in this Denny Fitch had a photography studio on 5th Street, East 5th Street in Warren. And so we had 20 of these chairs. And our little photography studio was the size of your living room. No question, it wasn't even that big. We could wedge these in, and then, this is how goofy we were. We had 12 people in a 4-piece band. And a whole sound system, right? We had the whole, in fact, we still have the speakers. The whole sound system, we had keyboard, we had guitar, we had the overhead projector. I mean, we were rocking it. We had a little basket for offering. We took offerings for a year, didn't know what to do with the money. We just gave it away all the time because we had no need of money. So we just took offering, gave it away, and went out there. And so but I want you to see these chairs today to just let you know that the very seemingly insignificant, and these are really junky chairs. Like, we couldn't have bought the $8 ones. I mean, these were bad. If you put these on concrete, you collapse them. They break down. So we had to, nobody could come to our church who was big. And we actually, no, that, well, I don't get it. But we bought big chairs too because of that. We actually bought, they had these that were a little bit higher, and we called them the big guy chairs. And so we had like four of those that came out. But I want you to see, as you look at these chairs, maybe we'll leave them up here for a few weeks, that the scripture that says, don't despise small beginnings, please don't despise small beginnings. There's always a beginning. There's always a beginning. 12 passionate people who had zero in common except the praise of God gathered in these little chairs. Right? We still have them. They're actually on Sadiq and Julie's front porch. This is not a funny place for them. Thank you for holding the chairs for us. And just one other story. So then when we moved, the next year we moved to Russell down on the corner in downtown Russell, the pet store. We thought we had the largest building in the world. I mean, so we had like 30 of these chairs, and we had to expand and add 10 chairs. And then in 1996, we literally doubled in a day, and we only had 35 chairs. 70 people showed up. Now, that's a goofy thing to have happen. So we literally, people brought their chairs. You go to church and take a lawn chair. And because we were waiting on, we ordered 100 of these things. Literally, some of them were sitting in the 100. And they hadn't come yet. And we had everybody who come to church carrying a folding chair and going into that thing. And so these poor little chairs in 1996 got replaced. And I'm actually glad we still have them, because it's just a good reminder that God has people out there who don't give a rip about what your chairs are like. If you have the presence of God, that's what changes their life. They will bring their own chair if you're offering the real deal. They'll just do it. They'll do it. And so I guess that I'll just end with that challenge. I'll just end with the challenge that if we keep our priorities straight, all the details fall into place, including where you're going to put the people. We had people could wedge. It was such a funny thing. We could literally wedge 100 chairs into that building, downtown Russell. But it was so ridiculous how, because that was all we had. There was nothing else we could do in there except have chairs. So you walk in the front door, you had a little 10 by 10 foyer. Boom, and everything else was chairs. The band literally was like this. The back wall. Dale would almost lean against the back wall because the chairs were pushing him. We had a guitar, keyboard, drums, and still our little Julie was a singer down there. All lined up against the back row. And I know I've told you the story. We were so tight that I would sit in the front row, so I'd be right here, me and Dale, looking at each other. If he would drop his pick, I would just grab it and give it back to him. And then, of course, if you know, it's just worth telling the story. Our room was 24 feet wide, and I don't know why we were set up like this, but 24 feet from Dale was the bathroom.
Amen.
Yeah, right in the middle. Who's thinking, right? And it's an old pet store, so this is not real soundproof. And we had two and a half, 3 hour services, so obviously it was used. And so, there goes this, like the old Archie Bunker flushing the toilet right in the middle of the way. Man, we're just family loving this thing. But I just, here we go. What's going on? Just because you're number 19, you think you get to come up here?
Yes. Okay. What's ringing true with everything that Rick is saying and all of those people that are been here forever and ever is when I first started coming to Praise Fellowship, I thought this was weird. This is really whacked that all these people are meeting in a little pet store. You could still see the aquarium stuff on the walls. Like, that's behind what the little fish tanks were in. You're like, what are these people doing? And, I mean, my parents were very traditional, and we were Baptists, and we did things, you know. And I thought, oh, my goodness, Mom and Dad are going to think this is really weird. that there's no name, that we're in a pet store and we're getting together. It felt weird. But when I first started coming, it's like, wow, the undertow with everybody coming to this church was authentic. Every single person was just real. Every single person that I met was just themselves, just wanting to be close to the Lord. Every single person had baggage, had trouble, had problems, had tears in their eyes because they were a mess, and so was I, right? And we just wanted to come together and worship Jesus. And here we are, how many years later? I was telling Rick last night, like, it's really bad that I can say I've been a part of a church for 22 years now. Makes me feel really old. But it's still the same. That is, like, still the same foundation. He's got that at the center. The people are at the center. Every single person, I would imagine, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn for any of you, but every single person here is just being a real person trying to worship God, because you know that's the only hope. It's the only way we're going to get through this. It's the only way we're going to have the life we want, is to worship Him. And that's how it began many, many years ago. And that's when I realized that's what I want. We were very traditional, very, you know, we do it this way inside this box. But, man, we just opened up into this beautiful group of people that we're all real, we're all wearing our baggage, trying to drop it off, right? And just being authentic people worshiping Jesus together. Yeah. It's still the same.
It is. And that's, and so here's the only reason it stays the same is because we guard it. It's how we guard it. We guard it. We guard it. I don't guard it. We guard it. Therefore, if you see people treating people badly, say, listen, that ain't who we are. It isn't. Or if you say, well, we don't want to worship anymore, you say, listen, there's a lot of other places you can go and not worship. That's what we do here. What are you doing praying all week? Well, that's who we are. It's just who we are. Why do you go so many places? We've got enough problems. Yeah, we got enough problems here. But it's just who we are. We go everywhere. It's just our call. And so I want to thank you for becoming part of the family. And you know, can't wait to get back in September when everybody comes back together. We got new things coming up. But here's the last thing I'll just say to you and challenge you with this. I'm actually very happy. I took a sizable, and looking back, step of faith to become part of the early people. And you say, well, that wasn't me. I wasn't there. Well, that's okay, because here's what I am convinced of. We're at a season. I really think we'll start turning some things in September that you're going to say, wow, I was there. I was there. So be it. Be it. I have people say, wouldn't it be something if there was a large church in a small town? I say, you do realize it could happen. Yeah, how? Show up. Right? What if 1,000 people? Well, it could. How? Get here. This doesn't take a genius to figure it out. Oh, it'd just be neat if it happened. Not going to happen unless you do something. And so be part of what God's up to. It's very exciting. It's very exciting, my son. I'm going to stop, because although when we started out, we always ran 2.5-hour services, so I'm like an hour short of that. We would worship for an hour and preach for an hour, and then we'd have like a half hour worth of stuff in the middle. I sometimes think, how did we do that? But Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. It is truly great.
Yes.
Your faithfulness is amazing. And so we just bless you and thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for our past. But we more thank you for our future. Because all of it is just wrapped up in who you are indeed. Let me do this. Bill, just so you know, Pastor Bill was diagnosed with, he's got kidney cancer. And it's bad. And so this will probably, you know, they're not going to do any heroic stuff. And so I guess I encourage you to go see him. He's at home. And he and I, but let's just pray for them now, because he's like one of, he's been with us a long time. He first spoke at Praise Fellowship in 1993. So, Father, I thank you for Pastor Bill, and bless you for him and his life. Have him know the love of people like never before. Lord, maybe you got him around for another 5 years. That's not our business. Maybe it's just another year, maybe it's months, I don't know. But Lord, in that time, have him walk closely with you and with Nyla, and have all of us pour out our love to him. And may you be glorified in that amazing, amazing man of God. So thank you, Jesus. Walk with us all this week. Give us continual reminders to seek you and be on our face for revival, for you to do things.